I asked Matt to lead that song for me just before the lesson, and the reason being is I've entitled my lesson, I Am Resolved. And when I teach in my class a lot of times, I'll use a word sometimes that the kids don't always understand, and they, you know, I say, y'all know what that means? And they, well, no, you know, I don't know what that means. Well, I am resolved. It means to be determined. We could easily sing this song, I am determined no longer to linger. I am determined to go to the Savior. I'm determined to follow the Savior. I am determined to enter the kingdom. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is that are you resolved, am I resolved to live as God would have us to live? Rarely, if ever, is any great thing ever accomplished without some determination to achieve it. We have New Year's resolutions all the time. They're real common. You know, we determine to eat right. We're going to exercise more. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to do all those kind of things. We're going to get involved in some new exciting activities. And, you know, but a lot of these resolutions fail to materialize because we get a few days in or a few weeks in and we get bored with it, or it's just not as exciting as it used to be. And we have to be honest with ourselves. When we fail at whatever we determine to do, it is because of our lack of determination. We have failed to count the cost. We have failed to prepare ourselves and our minds. We failed to focus our attention on the task at hand. The greatest accomplishment that we can strive to achieve is to reach a home in heaven. No other accomplishment in this life can compare with reaching heaven. This goal will never be reached with a lackadaisical attitude. It's going to take some effort, determination, and resolve, as we use that word, to reach it. Christ taught this very principle. I hope we got it up there. There we go. Christ taught this very principle in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. We're going to read through 33, and I'm going to read it pretty quick. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Daniel is a great example, biblical example of someone with a determined heart. He made a decision how he's going to live, and he stuck with it even under very difficult circumstances. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. That means he was determined. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. He counted his cost, he prepared his mind, and he focused his attention. His determination to follow God's precepts was not always easy, and actually, a lot of times it caused him some great difficulties. But his choice was made, and he was determined to follow through on it. Daniel knew that God would be there for him no matter what happened. The Proverbs writer says in chapter 3, verse 6 of Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In your quest for heaven, have you determined that you're not going to defile yourself with the world's sinful things, just as Daniel did? The Bible gives us many more examples. We're going to run through a few of them of men and circumstances that had determination. The psalmist in Psalm 17, verse 3 says, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Question to us is, have we determined to speak and communicate as God would like us to? Noah in Genesis 6, verses 8 through 9 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9 it says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God. Have you determined, have I determined, that in this life we're going to walk with God? Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 24 through 25 is referenced here. Says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The question we have we determined not to be called a son or a daughter of the world? David is a great example. Just before his fight with Goliath, he goes to the battlefield and he's surveying the situation, and Goliath is screaming the things he was screaming, and his brothers are kind of getting on him about being there and making fun of him or something. But you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, David saw the situation as it was, and he says, what have I done? Is there not a cause? David knew that God's cause was the cause, and he was going to stand up for it. Have we determined that God is the cause and that we're going to stand up for it? God's cause is a cause worth living for, and it's a cause worth dying for. And it was in David's case. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Have we determined that we're going to grow up and we're not going to be blown around as little children in all the winds of doctrine? The question is, if we fail to get to heaven, it will be on us. If we fail to get to heaven, it's going to be because we failed in our minds to determine in our hearts to get there. You know, we can blame society, and a lot of times, you know, our society is a rough place to be. We can blame society if we don't make it to heaven. We can blame our schools. We can blame the preacher. We can blame our family. We can blame the church. A lot of people do. We can blame the elders that we're not going to make it to heaven. But when it comes down to it, we are going to be to blame for not reaching our heavenly home, we as individuals. And the sad fact is that many that should be there in heaven will not be there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, speaks about this very thing. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. This in 2 Peter is talking about Christians just like you and I that have returned to the world, had escaped it, and returned right back to it. We got to determine in our hearts to live for God. It takes some determination. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, I appreciate Cody stepping up and doing that for us tonight. The scripture reads in Joel 3:14, says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The truth is that we're all in this valley. We're in the valley of decision. We've got to make a determination every day, every moment in some cases, that we're going to follow God in what he wants us to do. What has God promised for our resolve? What has God promised for our determination? He promises in Matthew chapter 6, 33, that he's going to provide for our needs. Sometimes we get real wound up about things not coming together like we wanted them to in this life, but you know what? God says he's going to provide for us. He says in Matthew 6, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 24, he promises us protection and he promises us his care. Now to him, in Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. He's promised us that. If we're following him, he's going to give us that protection and care. He promises us forgiveness. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And Colossians 1 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. One thing I appreciate that God has promised to me is in Matthew 19 verse 29, he's promised us a huge return on our investment and also eternal life. It says in Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Now, if your investment broker comes to you and says, I promise you 100% return on your investment, what should you probably do? You probably ought to call the SEC or somebody, because they're selling you something, don't they? Aren't they? But you know what? God can promise us that, and God can deliver it. He promises that to us. The question is, have you resolved to be God's man or God's woman? Have you resolved to follow Christ? Now, I'm going to go through the plan of salvation here, and I don't want y'all reaching for your songbooks too quick. I know y'all are used to me giving little short ones, but I got a little bit after this, so be patient. You start that determination to be like Christ and to follow Christ by becoming a Christian. That comes by believing in God and Christ His Son. That's Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Repentance, that's a turning from what you've been doing, turning from sin. Acts 17:30 said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That journey begins with a confession of Christ, example found in Acts 8:36-37. It says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a confession of Christ as Lord and Savior. That being followed by baptism, Romans 6:3-5. Or do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Resolving to do anything less than following Christ is a big mistake. And we should know that. Is he staying up on those scriptures over there? He's staying up pretty good. I gave him a list, and I said, I'm going to be going really fast. So he's staying up, I'm glad. God, through his prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 46, I'm going to read 3-11. Again, I'm going to read it really quick, but y'all follow with me. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am He, and even to your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we should be alike? Speaking here in 6 and 7, talking about men making idols. 6 says, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it. They set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, it cannot answer nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. What God purposes, He's going to do. The question is, what we purpose, are we going to do it? We can often show signs of outward resolve toward God. We do all the right things, but inside we can be unchanged, we can be unmoved, we can be sinful people on the inside. We have to be very careful of this. Consider Judas. Judas was an apostle of Christ, and yet he denied him and sold him out for just a little bit of money. But yet on the outside, Judas was an apostle of Christ. No one would have considered him a sinful person. I think of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. It was a couple who, you know, they wanted the praise of men, but what they ended up getting was the condemnation of God. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying, it's something we've often heard, Abraham Lincoln has supposedly said, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. That's a pretty wise statement, I think. And it's so true. But you know what? With God, you can't fool God any of the time. God wants our hearts. He doesn't just want our outward actions. Again, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13, it states, "So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." Joel is specifically speaking to those who would show outward signs of repentance, but they haven't changed their heart. We got to be very careful. He wants us to tear our hearts and not just pretend to be righteous. May our resolve to go to heaven not be like our New Year's resolutions, easily stopped, easily forgotten. May we resolve, may we determine in our hearts to go to heaven. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua here says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve." In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." We have that choice. We got to make that determination. Galatians, I'm going to leave you with we'll close this up. I'm going to finish with four scriptures that will help us in our daily walk to be more determined to do what God wants us to do. And we've heard several of these in our lives, of course, and we've heard them often. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Keep going forward. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 and also 10 through 11 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And skipping to verse 10 says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Job went through a lot, but he stuck with it. He was determined to follow God no matter what happened to him. And we know the results, as is stated here in James. Our last scripture tonight is going to be Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." If there's any reason why someone might need to come forward tonight, please come now while we stand and sing.